All right, you ready to start the show?
Go for it.
Yeah.
Start the show. This is 9:56.
Give me count around, Jolie.
All right.
Who's the best show here?
Back Show!
Who's the best show here?
Back Show!
All right, that's pretty good. That's the best one yet.
I am sure.
Pizza, pizza.
My fly is open.
Big O! Showtime!
When you were making egg foo young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a limousine tech show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cats, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that are looking bad. But the strolling, go direct to DLMTS.org. And I see channels of Linux.net. Bound tech show. Just sit right there, cause the cats are just about to begin.
Hey, welcome to the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, this is episode 956. On the show tonight, we have Pat.
Happy Wednesday.
We have Joel.
Hello, hello.
We have Joe.
I'm here, mostly.
Yeah. And what's new? What's new? We missed you last week, Joe.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Made Joel cry.
I bet it did. Yeah.
And we missed you the week before, but it's good that you weren't there because Dingleberry forgot to press the record button on any of his machines. It was really stupid, but
it's so smooth.
Yeah. So I had a really interesting thing happen, and I don't know how to explain it. It's tech related. We have a new suite of applications that we're in the process of rolling out, and I've talked before, they're like React-based applications running on Next. They're all Node.js applications anyway. Some of them, well, the applications in particular that I'm looking at are all virtualized in Kubernetes containers, and they run in GKE. And we use Fastly, which is a professional services driven Varnish cache company. And they have extensions on top of Varnish that they use. But anyway, we are in order to access the applications, it goes through Fastly, and we have custom VCL code that handles authentication, or works to handle authentication. Obviously, authentication, we go through Okta for identity management, but the VCL code also works with managing access to the applications and does identity management, works with the identity management system. And it sets a cookie. A lot of application authentication is cookie-based. This sets a cookie and verifies the presence of certain headers and cookie settings in the VCL. Now, what we wanted to do was we have currently five microservice applications behind this configuration, and each one is a separate path on the domain. So we wanted to be able to cache the static objects, like certain images, like favicon, placeholder image, and the static files that are generated by the application when it's built, like webpack and other files that are included in there that don't change, so they could be cached. Well, if you are passing headers in the requests, Fastly's default VCL for that will pass, what's called pass. It will send it straight to the delivery or the fetch and delivery, but it won't cache it, which makes sense because you don't want to cache objects in with cookie headers in them because that's a security risk right there. So he generally does that. But what we decided to do was for our – and if you want to do the caching, like for static assets and things like that, you can strip off the cookie header. So you in your code, you determine, is it following a certain pattern? And if it is, you can strip off the cookie header. That, therefore, it then goes to the default lookup as opposed to pass. And lookup will then go through and it will check the caches to see whether that object exists in the cache. And if it doesn't, it'll go to the fetch and fetch it from the back end, or it'll fetch it from the cache if it's there. If it's not in the cache and it has to fetch from the back end, it will put it into the cache based upon the rules. And I'm just explaining how a standard CDN here works, an API caching layer or whatever in front of it. So we implemented this on Wednesday of last week. And Thursday morning, I may have talked about it last week, I don't know. Thursday morning, got up and people were complaining that, and we only did this in development and staging, because you're not going to do shit like this in production, like a day before, the day before a holiday, you know, 2 days before a holiday weekend or whatever, right? So people were complaining that they were having issues, and a bug report was filed and a ticket in Jira. Not ServiceNow, Joel, in Jira, to which I looked at the ticket, and I went, and I looked at what I was seeing, and I could not understand what the problem was. Like, I was having absolutely no problems. The ticket, even though it had a video, like a screen capture attachment, I wasn't clear on what was going on. Like, I couldn't really see anything being a problem. And I couldn't replicate any problems. I wasn't having any problems. And the guy that I was working with previously the day before, he was testing it too. He didn't have any problems the night before. But sure enough, started talking to people, and they were all having problems, except for, interestingly enough, the person who put the ticket in. Now, come to find out during this whole process, is the one thing that was kind of different. The only thing we could pinpoint being the difference was that I was on the East Coast. The person who put the ticket in was technically on the East Coast, East time zone or whatever, the East Coast region. She was up in the D.C. area. I'm down here in Hampton. Then the next closest person over that I was working with testing was in Ohio. And then the other person was either out in Texas or maybe in California. I don't remember which one. So it seemed like it was relegated to like the west side, but it's odd that, because Ohio's still in the eastern time zone. But I thought maybe it might have something to do with region, right? But it's still really odd because it's working for me and the caching's working and I'm not having an issue. So we have a VPN, and our VPN is – there's an East and there's a West VPN. And having like separate regional VPN stuff, like for people out in the West, it's closer to them or whatever. If we connect to the West, sometimes that gives us like an experience of somebody being on in the Western region. So I went and I did that. I logged into our VPN and the Western region, and then I saw what the problem was. Like, I saw the issue that everybody was having. I couldn't explain it, but then when I logged back out, the problem was gone. When I logged on to the East VPN, the problem was back. And when I logged off the VPN, it was gone. And I've had a couple of different people replicate this. On that are on the East Coast. Like, the guy I worked with originally did this with, he tested it out again today, and he didn't have a problem. The moment he got on either VPN, he had a problem. And then you go, it's really weird. It's, and I try to follow it in my head in the path, but I don't get what's going on. When it's working and you're using, did you ever use the web developer plugin or tool, development tool that's pretty much shipped with every browser these days? If you go to op, like the file menu op tools and
there's web developer. Inspect.
Yeah. And yeah, or you do inspect, that'll bring it open too. You got the network tab, which allows you to see the calls for every object that it's pulling, every file it's pulling. It allows you to look at that. You can even look at the headers for that and the statuses. And it gives a plethora of information. It's wonderful. And I can see that when it's working, it makes a request out to the service, and then it has to pull in all these files. I see all the static files. They're all getting 200s. They're all being, if they're not cached, there's a miss. And then if I refresh the page, it's a hit on the cache typically. Everything seems to be working fine. The moment I get on the VPN, all those 200s change to a 302. And a 302 is a redirect, but it is a temporary redirect. 301 is a permanent redirect. 302 is temporary. And it's supposed to redirect you to where it is in the headers, where the request, the response header tells you the location of the redirect. And the browser will follow. Now, what ends up happening is we looked at that, and it is essentially behaving as if it would go out to do the authentication, but it wasn't able to authenticate. Like, it's looking for the cookies, and it's not there, and it can't do the authentication. So it's redirecting back to authentication and passing what URL it's supposed to redirect to once authentication is complete. So it's redirecting back to authentication, but the cookie is not there. And then it's getting into a loop where it keeps redirecting back to where it's supposed to be redirecting. And you would think that, okay, obviously what seems to be happening is it's stripping the cookie headers off and then making a request. But that's not how this operates. The process is it goes to make the request. Every request that's going to that domain should be including the cookies, should have the cookies is set for that domain, should have all that information in the header, and it's making that request. It looks for the presence of that cookie, verifies the authentication, then it will go and attempt to retrieve it from cache. But before it does that, it will strip the cookie header off if it's one of those static files. So it's already passed authentication and has gone into the fetch phase and retrieving that. And it should be getting it out of cache, or it should be going to the back end if it's not, to retrieve it out of cache. But yet it is behaving as if the request is being made without the cookie header. Therefore, it's redirecting back. It doesn't make sense to me how this is happening. Like, if that were the case that it was trying to redirect in some way, why does it work in one region, in one area, but not the rest? Like, why do we have this really odd behavior and one success? It would seem that it's not the configuration of the VCL and how that's set up, because it does work. It seems like it's related to region, and I don't understand how that would impact. But anyway, isn't that exciting, Joel?
Yeah, sounds like work.
Yeah.
The only thing I would suggest there, and I don't know how Google's regions work.
But it's not Google. It's not okay. Google. It's not. We're not even getting to the back end on this request. We're like I said, we can trace the based upon what the 302 that we're getting, the temporary relocation, we can see the header is set in a specific way that it's set should validation fail Like, should the cookies not, like, something to do with the validation failing, and having to redirect through authentication temporarily to then once it goes through the authentication process, it's then going to redirect upon successful completion of the authentication. It's going to redirect back to the original request. So that's why it's a 302 temporary relocation, because it's going back through the authentication, which should either kick you out to Okta, or it should, if you're already logged into Okta, should get the necessary information to set those cookies and then redirect you back to the resource that you want to get, right? So this is almost behaving like not only are the cookie headers gone, but there's no Okta session involved in this either, which, well, I don't understand how that could be. It's bizarre. It is utterly bizarre. Because the Okta authentication, the Okta session is not between the authentication, necessarily between the authentication VCL and the Google layer. It's something that is kind of outside the application. It is a session-based authentication that it will verify that you are authenticated through Okta, but yet you, and in this whole process, not once are you logged out of Okta. Like, it's all there, but it's not. It's just really weird. Trying to figure it out. It is a challenge.
Yep.
And it's just weird that it works, except it from certain locations. Anyway, the joys of fun. At least it's not ServiceNow.
Yeah.
Da-da.
Yeah. Planning on Southeast Linux Fest. It's coming up next weekend. They don't have any registration open on the website. Makes me wonder if they're gonna let you do the contributor package on site. I guess I'll find out when I get there next week. Lots of good sessions. I'm kind of excited about it. I'm going to take my time getting down there on Thursday. Debating whether I haven't had the first oil change in my new car yet.
No. How many miles you got on that puppy?
That's about 5. I mean, it's the, let me see. Let me look in the,
shouldn't you be changing cool that about every 5,000 miles?
Well, it's getting close. I know that. Let me see here. I can actually check via the app. It'll tell me. Let's see. 4,000.
Every 400 miles, you just change your oil.
It says no. Not that bad. Let's see. Why is this not? Huh. It should already be connected. I'll have to fiddle with it. But I last time I actually looked at it, it was something like it was something like
Did they get you? Did they get Joel? Hello? Anybody?
We're here. At least I'm here. I don't know what happened to Joel.
Joel's talking, and then he just like...
I'm still here.
Pat, then it's got to be on Joel's end.
Yeah.
They got him. The oil companies, they got him.
Well, it looks like he's talking. I can see him turning blue. It's just I don't hear him saying anything.
Yeah, I don't. You're either your mic is muted or I have no idea.
He's using push to talk and his mic is shut off.
Oy, oy, oy.
So has anybody else gotten the slew of phone calls about new jobs?
I've had somebody from like, oh man, what? I don't. Let me see if I can, if I still have the email. Emails coming in from this guy who was pretty persistent, I have to say, for a online nursing, like nurse placement company. And he's like, hey, we're looking for, you know, DevOps people and stuff. I can't remember the name of the company. Oh, yeah. Nomad Health has been, somebody at Nomad Health has been reaching out to me pretty persistently. That is, there's been a couple others, but are you having a lot of people trying to pull you into jabs?
Dude, I had like 20 or 30 phone calls the other day. And I even had some more follow-ups today, but most of them were lower than what I would accept. And so, you know, those are easy to get rid of. And then there were some that were like borderline. And then there were a couple that were like absolutely disgustingly low. Well, I say low, but like one guy was offering me like $135,000 a year. The only problem is that's not a lot in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go.
Yeah, and that's where the job was. And so, yeah, that's not going to happen.
There wasn't any, like, no, not remote possibilities?
You know, everybody's offering hybrid.
Okay.
2 days in the office or 3 days in the office. And you know what? I've heard the stories so far, and I know the stories that certain companies are saying where they're saying, oh, it'll be hybrid, and then you get started, and it's, oh, if you work past 40 hours, then you can do that from home. That's their hybrid model.
Up to 40 hours in the office and after 40 at home?
Yeah.
That's not a... That's terrible.
Not a hybrid model. That's not a hybrid model at all.
No, that is...
But, yeah, you know, everybody's got that major push for going back to the office, and that's why you've had all these companies that had a major exodus of people, and that's why all these companies that are doing the supposed hybrid are out there pounding ground trying to get people in. But, no, a lot of the places close to me were offering like maybe 10% over what I'm making now, maybe 10% over what I'm making now, and a lot of those cases it would have been a slightly further drive, and that makes it really not worth it, not worth the effort.
Right. Yeah, it's tough. It could be a tough call. So how much more does it have to be to make any inconvenience? You know, especially when it's not like you're really looking.
Right. Well, for a minute there I was, because Texas and you know, women's rights and me having a wife and two daughters.
Uh-huh.
And I was looking further west, maybe a bit north, but not too far north because I hate the cold. But, maybe some come up, but I've had to do some refinancing to get things fixed at the house and pay off other fixes I did at the house. And I'm stuck here until at least all of that goes through and gets done. So they're saying like 5 to 6 weeks. So maybe after that, I might look for a position again. But my manager is also putting me in for a promotion right now, but that wouldn't go through until like September. And if I'm gonna stay until, well, the end of the year, then I might as well stay till February or March when, you know, more of my stocks get released.
Well, there you go.
Of course, with the way stock prices are looking, maybe not. Has anybody been watching crypto?
Watching it go all over the place, right?
I'm watching it fall through the freaking floor and then maybe start to come back a little bit and then fall further.
Yeah. Doesn't look good, huh?
Not right now. I don't know. It seems to be so attached to the stock market now. It's weird. You know, it's supposed to be something that is completely separated from it, but now it's being completely influenced by it. Maybe that's just, you know, fear factor in one causing fear in the other.
Money, money, money. There one day, gone the next, right?
Going away, yeah. And then, inflation.
Is it killing you too?
Oh, dude, we're not buying anything different at the grocery store, but
right.
6 months ago, what we were buying cost us $400, and now what we're buying costs us $600.
I hear you. You don't have cats, do you?
I do.
Are you having a problem finding cat food, canned cat food?
Usually we go with dry, and the canned cat food that we do buy, tends to last a while, because, you know, they'll get half a can each every night.
So, I have too many cats, and they demand wet food in the morning, and they have the dry food the rest of the day. So they get, between the four of them, because...
You know what?
What?
Just spitballing here. If you refuse to give them wet food, let them demand all they want, eventually they'll get hungry enough and eat the dry food.
Oh, they eat the dry food all day long, but they're like conditioned now to expect wet food in the morning. So when I, like, at 5 o'clock in the morning, the cats start lining up on my bed. And they're laying on top of me. They're laying on top of the wife. They're all happy and excited that I'll be getting up in the next half hour to give them a can of food. So, and the problem is I'm fine with that. Like, it's great. I'm glad it is. And I've never had a problem. But the last, like, 6 or 7 months, it's really hard to get canned cat food around here. Now, if I want the fancy feast, which these little perfect paws aren't going to get because that shit is expensive. You know, it's usually I was buying the store brand, Companion is what it was called, the Food Lion Companion brand. I don't think they make it anymore because I haven't seen it in like 4 or 5 months. So now I'm like, whatever is available that's not Fancy Feast, because Fancy Feast is too damn expensive and it comes in little small containers. Big waste of money, I think. But yeah, most times I go to the store, there is no wet cat food other than Fancy Feast. The shelves are bare. It's really wild.
At least you don't need baby formula.
That's true. Maybe I should feed my cats baby formula.
Yeah,
there we go.
Buy it all up.
But... Yeah, I've had it, but yeah, definitely I've noticed that it's getting a lot pricier. I've gone to back to shopping sometimes at Aldi's.
Aldi's.
Take the dry food and add some water to it and let it soak, maybe.
Oh, you know what happens when you do that?
gets batted all over the place?
They don't like it, and it makes a big mess in the bowl, and it's more of a pain in the ass to clean up. Like I said, I don't have a problem giving them wet food. It's fine with me. I'm just having a problem finding it. Now, when I do get it, when I do see it, I'm like buying it by the case. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right, right, right.
Like the 24 or 36 cans. That's how I usually buy it. You know, I'm in the past couple of weeks, I've started. I know that I do believe like either Wednesday or Thursday is the best day to go, because generally they have it. Like there'll be one or two on the shelves. I can get that, but like I say, it's weird because like a year ago, not a problem, man. There was cat food all over the packed.
Makes
too much
me
cat
glad
food on
I
the
just
shelf.
Got one kitty cat.
There you go. Make that last.
Yeah, we'll buy a big old we'll buy a big old bag of Meow Mix, and it takes him forever to get through it.
Yeah, I was buying the big ass bag of companion dry cat food, the complete crunchy, and they stopped making that like a year ago too. You could buy the small bags, but you can't buy the big like 10-pound or 12-pound bag that they used to get, which sucks, man. Because I'm like
Sparta only likes either human food or dry cat food. He won't eat the wet stuff.
Yeah, I have a cat that won't eat the wet stuff either.
Yeah, he likes the crunchy stuff, and then he'll pester my wife. No matter what she has, she could have a bowl of broccoli, which my wife has been known to do. And
why not? I love broccoli. Now, does she eat that raw or steam it or
it's roasted? frozen stuff in the steamer bags. So,
oh, which, no, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah,
I can't eat frozen broccoli.
Well, it's like me and Brussels sprouts. Frozen Brussels sprouts smells nasty to me, and I won't eat it. But you take them Brussels sprouts, fresh ones, and roast them in the oven with some bacon grease. You got something good there, a little salt and pepper.
I love Brussels sprouts. I love broccoli. Yeah. I have a Same. Hard time with frozen food because it's too mushy for me, like when I cook it.
I don't find it mushy, but a lot of times it's like whoever trims it before they put it in the bag, like, gives you mega big large stalks on things. And it's like those are the things you don't want to eat.
I love stalks. I love broccoli stalks. I love them.
I think tomorrow's my bachelor night, and I think I'm gonna order in. I just looked on their website. Way Down Yonder will deliver to me, so I think I'm gonna try ordering some New Orleans food. I'm not sure what I want to get, though. Crawfish etouffee is kind of calling me because I love that. But then they have awesome
crawfish
po'boys,
what?
Too. Etouffee.
Oh, etouffee. Ugh.
Yeah. It's delicious. The mud bugs are delicious.
I know, man. I was looking, like, I was getting excited this year, but there's been this is a down year for Blue Claws in the Chesapeake Bay. So they're kind of scarce. And I'm like,
Blue Crab's good too.
Yeah, I love Blue Crab. But they're going like, they're talking about $400 a bushel. And that's
Damn.
Like, you know, I'm like, at that point, you know, generally speaking,
let me guess, your family can put away a whole bushel.
No, I don't think so. Like, if I sat down and I had all the free time, which typically is the case these days, I could probably put away like a dozen or more crabs. Right, absolutely. But that's going to take me like an hour and a half, 2 hours picking through all that stuff. You know,
sounds painful.
Well, that's not too bad. Yeah.
But if I'm
I think
gonna...
opening king crab legs is a little worse though.
But I've at those prices, like, it's cheaper for me just to buy some chicken necks and go sit out on one of the piers or something, or a dock, and catch them myself.
Yeah, for sure.
It's just that's not the most reliable way to do like a crab boil, with the neighbor or something. No. So I figured maybe no. If I'm unless I catch them this year myself, probably no blue claws. I'll have to see what the prices are towards the midsummer, end of summer. I'm not sure how much they're going to be around here, but that was in Maryland. They were going like $400 a bushel.
Way down yonder has a shrimp and sausage po' boy. I'm assuming that's andouille. And honey hot po' boy sandwich. I'm wondering if that's got that Mike's Hot Honey. Have you ever tried that, Dan? Mike's Hot Honey?
No, I have not had that.
Oh, you should.
Is that just like good honey stuff. And they, hot sauce mixed together or what?
No, honey and chili peppers.
Oh.
I don't know what chili that pepper. Kind it does. Yeah. Well, it's honey. It's definitely honey. But it's got hot, like a hot twang to it. It's not hot. Doesn't have hot sauce mixed in. It's just got the chili pepper mixed into the honey.
Also, they have the chili. They mix the chili pepper. They cut it up or whatever, and they mix it right in with the honey.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't sound like it'd be that hard to make.
No, it wouldn't be. And it sounds weird, but the thing that a lot of people do with it is they put it on pizza, which sounds weird, but. Put that on pepperoni pizza, and let me tell you, that's amazing.
Mike's Hot Honey. Hot Southern Honey.
You would probably like all of them, because they have an extra hot one, too. But, like, put it on top of pizza, or, like, dip your... Chicken fingers in it. Good stuff.
All right, so I'm looking at a recipe for how to make hot honey. It seems pretty pretty simple.
Yeah, let's see. Not difficult. Yeah.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. So you're just you're taking chili flakes or chili pepper or whatever,
right.
Whatever pepper that you want to use, and you're.
Well, it says infused with chili.
Yeah,
I don't know.
You're heating it up in the pan with the honey
right.
Not to a boil, but you're right. Just letting it. Don't let it boil because it'll boil over easy. You're just letting it get up to that point, heat up, and then let it sit for a while to infuse, and then strain it. Through a sieve. That's why it doesn't.
Yeah, get all the seeds and stuff out. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not the regular one. Is not super hot. I've never had the extra hot. It's fairly cheap. Like maybe $5 at Kroger's down here for a bottle of it. They also the other thing I noticed too is there's also a store brand of it too now. And I haven't tried that one yet, because it takes me a little while to get through the hot honey since I'm the only one that eats it.
I can see that.
Because it's just like my wife doesn't like anything spicy, but I took a bullet and I bought a bottle of the Mountain Dew Blazing Hot.
Why would you do that?
Just because it was interesting.
How is it? That's Flaming Hot, disgusting. Isn't it called?
Is Flaming it, Hot, yeah, Flaming Hot, just like the Doritos and the Cheetos, yeah. I don't think it's hot at all, but it's like where you catch the heat is on the back end of it, you know? So like after you take a sip, you'll kind of feel it just a little bit in the back of your throat.
It doesn't seem to be something that I would want to drink, though, is
right.
it?
Right, yeah, I know. No, I'm totally with you.
Is it thirst quenching?
It was worth a shot. I don't know. I only have one bottle. I won't buy it again, yeah.
But I mean, like, you know how you, like, drink a liquid, regardless of what it is? There's usually some kind of satisfaction afterwards where it's like, you know, okay, it
probably,
tastes good.
I would say
that I'm not big on drinking anything spicy, but then, you know, a lot of your, like, ginger ales, like your
right.
really
the powerful good ginger ale. Right.
Yeah, they got a little zing to them, and I do enjoy
Canada
that.
Dry is weak, but a really good ginger ale is, oh, there's nothing like it. And I haven't had that in years now. The last time I had one was there was a place in Virginia not far from our corporate headquarters called the Big Bowl. And they had like Chinese, Asian, all that, you know. But they made their own ginger ale in the store. And then they would mix it with things like I've had their ginger ale mixed with green tea, the matcha green tea. Then another one with just lemonade. But this is how you can tell a really good one. When you feel it in your nose before you take the sip, that's a good ginger ale.
Yeah.
Well, and I agree with you on that. Yes, it can have like that zing. But yet, I don't think, I don't feel like ginger ale is in like that same class of like a jalapeno beer.
No, yeah.
Where when you drink like that, that's like, oh, you got the beer flavor and then you got like somebody's rubbing a jalapeno on your tongue drinking.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not refreshing.
No, this Mountain Dew is, I would say it's refreshing because it tastes more, because there's lime in it too, so you kind of catch a little bit of the lime on it. It doesn't taste bad.
What is it? What would you say it tastes close to? Like what's the is it citrusy? Is it?
Yeah, it's citrusy. I want to say like Code Red, but it's not really like that. You know, Code Red has more of a cherry. This didn't really taste like that.
Right.
To me.
What's the melon one?
Major Melon.
Okay, I had the Major Melon one after you had said it wasn't that bad. Good. And yeah, and it tastes like, it kind of tastes like that melon flavor.
They have the zero version of that, and I like that one.
And I had the what's the raspberry one? The blue raspberry, the pink raspberry. I guess it's Spark. Yeah, I had that, and I didn't really care for that, but it tasted like I thought it would. Like, I have no idea what the Flaming Hot is supposed to taste like.
There's Typhoon Dew
like
now.
Like, you hate yourself?
Yeah, right. Is it like drinking a Flaming Hot Cheeto? I mean,
I would assume it tastes like self-loathing.
Probably. No.
It's not as hot as a hot Cheeto. So.
But, I mean, what's the flavor, like, supposed to be?
Nacho cheese? Spicy nacho cheese?
It doesn't have that either.
Well, I mean, is it like a lemon lime? Is it like a pep? I mean, goodness knows, is it like a pepper?
Maybe, I don't want to say mango because I don't think it's mango, but either mango or maybe blood orange. I don't know.
Okay.
Because the color just throws you all off because it's just like neon red. I mean, it's
red. Interesting. Right. Like, it looks like Hawaiian Punch?
Almost, yeah.
Okay.
Doesn't taste like it at all. But now I will tell you another one I tried that in the zero variant was the Dr. Pepper Dark Berry.
Mm, me too.
It's
nothing to write home about.
Yeah. Both of these don't really feel like they have sticking power. Like I remember when Code Red
when
first
did that come
out. The Dark Berry?
Yeah.
A couple of months.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah, I don't think I've seen it.
Yeah, it's got branding for the new Jurassic World movie.
Oh.
Which I think comes out soon.
Well, I can stay out. They can stay out. Those movies got really bad.
The only Jurassic, as I was saying, the first one's the only one I like. Now, I have heard nothing but good things about Top Gun Maverick, and I have not seen that yet.
Yeah, well, that makes two of us. I don't plan on seeing it.
I do want to see it, and I do want to see it in a theater because I just think the F-18 thundering overhead would probably feel better in a theater.
I would love to go see Doctor Strange in the theater.
Oh man, so good. Oh wait,
and
you can't though, can you? Because that's a risk.
I could, especially if I went to like one of the bistros where that has a lot more space between the seats. I'd probably feel comfortable with something like that. It's just been a rough couple of months.
Right. Yeah, you don't want, with a kid like you have, you don't want to bring that home for sure.
Yeah, I wouldn't go to like your average theater elbow to elbow on opening night or anything, but.
Right.
The places where you can like reserve your seats an hour beforehand and see how many people are there.
Right.
We saw Doctor Strange the second weekend, like not the opening weekend, but the next weekend on a Sunday, a little after noon,
and it was
us, and then two rows behind us were two other people, and then I think there was a small family three rows in front of us. I mean, it was like way empty. I was surprised. All right, we can't get too far into this for obvious reasons, but I gotta know. I gotta know. Who broke down and watched and was disappointed by Obi-Wan Kenobi?
I watched all three episodes, and I will say I was not disappointed entirely.
You weren't disappointed?
Were you?
I'm having a really, like, I want to say I enjoyed it, but I'm also having a really hard time with...
Because you know how it's going to wrap
up. Well, with this damn universe. And, right. Like, I don't understand the point of all of this.
Well,
like,
and then it made no sense.
The movie sucked. They needed something.
Well, no, the thing I'm trying to...
And Mandalorian did so well.
I'm trying to figure out, though, is how Reva... Well...
No spoilers, because I have only seen episodes 1 and 2. And okay, I wish it would slow down.
Yeah.
I think that's always a problem.
Oh yeah,
with Star Wars. I didn't see the third
one yet. I liked it a lot, man. The first one was a little slow, but the second one was fucking killer.
So you're gonna like this week's that just came out today. Vader makes an appearance.
I don't know.
And there are lightsabers. Although the thing that. Well, I guess he's using it to protect himself. But in the third episode, Obi-Wan uses a blaster.
All right.
Which I'm like...
Here's something I do not understand about this universe. And I've made repeated mentions about this before. I don't understand why we can't get off of Tatooine, number one. Like, everything's got to be revolving around Tatooine. I mean, I kind of get it, but yeah, at the same time, like, I don't understand how life can be sustained on Tatooine. I don't understand how he's working
moisture
in that.
Moisture evaporators.
A moisture, well, it's a freaking desert. Like, I've only seen desert. That's all I have seen on Tatooine.
That's the whole planet.
Yeah, so if that's the whole planet, okay.
But.
He's working as... In that processing,
a moisture farm. Oh, the yeah. What was he?
He's
was
processing
cutting,
what looks to be a large fauna,
dragon.
Right? So, how can that animal be sustained on Tatooine?
Okay. Little background on Tatooine. It used to be a water world.
Right.
So the water dried up. It got used up. Whatever. Wouldn't it still have some of the horticulture?
If it was a water world, how do all the creatures that existed in a water world...
That survived.
...suddenly are able to exist in a desert planet? And, okay, now, even from that perspective, okay, it's you're talking about an endangered rare fauna that is just... It's got to be dwindling and dwindling and dwindling. It makes absolutely no sense. Obi-Wan Kenobi is riding around on that creature. absolutely no sense. That creature is a luxury and a rare beast.
Right.
He should be riding around on a speeder bike or like anything.
Or do bad.
Yeah. I don't get how he's riding around on that thing. And it's omnivorous, obviously, because he's feeding it the flesh of whatever it is they're cutting up in the desert, which makes absolutely no sense.
With those big flat teeth.
What doesn't make sense is space bombers, where you open the doors and drop the bombs down.
That was the last movie, stuck
in the weeds, we could go down that road.
Right.
I mean, I can grant that, but they keep insisting on being on Tatooine, and I don't understand.
Well, mostly, I imagine that the fact that they're on Tatooine has to do with, you know, sets.
Well, that
filming locations.
Oh yeah, they make good use of all that money they invest in Tatooine for how many different shows now?
Right, they get to reuse everything for three shows now.
Right, Obi-Wan is there. Now it makes more sense that Obi-Wan is there because he's there to watch over Luke. Okay.
That made sense. That Boba Fett is there because he did get killed.
Yes, that also made sense. Yeah, and there's a huge jump between those series. So I mean, in the timeline, but
yeah,
you know, but like the thing I didn't get was, there's so much I want to talk about, but I don't want to have anyone. I liked it. Go watch it. It was pretty dang good. It was put it this way. It's better than the movies. And that's saying a lot. I think it is anyway.
And there are, you know, even Mandalorian spent some time on Tatooine, but at least Mandalorian went a whole lot of other places.
Truth. And that comes back, what, December, I think?
It's either December or like January or something.
Yeah. But tomorrow, you have the next episode of Strange New Worlds.
Wait, I have a question.
This is not a spoiler question.
I don't think it's a spoiler question. But what's the third sister's name?
Reva.
Is she one of the kids from that was in the beginning?
That's the rumor, is that she was a youngling.
Okay, because that's what my wife had said. Because I'm like, why does she have it in for Obi-Wan Kenobi? And she said, well, I think she was one of those younglings. And maybe that has something to do with it.
The very few, and of course, now we really know that some of them got away. So.
Well, that was the implication when they were walking, you know, at the start of the first episode.
Yep.
Wasn't it that they moved on. They got out.
Yep. And it brings back all those, the Inquisitors from the Clone Wars movies. Or cartoons, I mean. But. So, yeah. Yep. I think it's. I'm liking it so far, you know. It's serialized, which I think the serialization works better for Star Wars than it does for Star Trek. And they also seem to be doing a better job of it, I think. Because Discovery, last season of Discovery was a kind of a shit show. It was okay, but it was better than previous seasons, but that's not saying a lot. But
has anybody watched Stranger Things yet?
Yes.
I have not.
I have not yet either.
I have seen the first two episodes.
Oh, you only seen the first. You haven't binged it then. I have friends that literally, like,
you know what? I said to my wife,
pictures of their snacks, and they just binged the whole thing.
I said to my wife, I was like, why didn't we watch this instead of Obi-Wan Kenobi first two episodes first? Because then we would have gotten like more episodes. So I'm really digging Stranger Things. So
it's a little
more violent this season than the past seasons.
Well, the kids are a little older.
Too. Yeah,
right. But that's only 10 episodes, right?
7, I thought.
Is that 10 or 18 or I forget how many was in that?
I think it's either 7 or 8.
Okay. Yeah. I couldn't get into it from the first season, you know.
The first season was awesome.
Yeah, other than the 80s callbacks, I really couldn't get into it. But Strange New Worlds, though, it's not the greatest Star Trek ever, but it's not bad. you know, it's not like Discovery bad or Picard bad. Well, Picard's not all that awful either, I don't think, anyway. I try to tend to not read what the comic book or the super-duper Star Trek fans go. Like the guys who, like, will record a YouTube video all on a fictional ship that wasn't even the Enterprise. It's like, why do I care about that ship? It showed up all of 2 seconds in the movie, in an episode of The Next Generation. Why do I care about that ship? I don't. but tomorrow, though, the Orville New Horizons hits Hulu. I'm actually probably going to watch that before I watch the new Strange New Worlds episode. Because Orville was pretty awesome. I've liked everything Seth has done with the Orville. It's like Star Trek, but funny.
I have not seen a single episode.
And this is supposed to be the final season, right?
We'll see. I hope not. Actually, what I'd like to see there is a full feature-length movie. That, I think, would work with the Orville. And probably make him more money. But yeah, it's strange now. It's like you used to, like in the old school days of TV, you used to get to this point in the year and be like, okay, we're done with TV. Let's go to the amusement park or let's go outside, go do something. Now, not anymore.
Well, even if they stopped releasing shows like right now for 3 months or something, I have such a backlog that I would still never be done.
No, that too, yeah. It's like, I haven't watched any of Black Mirror yet, and I've heard good things about it.
I liked Black Mirror. That was pretty good.
And what's that other one? Death, Love, and Robots?
Yeah, I'm really... I'm trying to think, did we watch an episode of that? No, I think we were going to, but then we watched Obi-Wan Kenobi instead.
Yep. At least they got Ewan McGregor, and it wasn't a new actor, like, you know, or they didn't have to do the funky thing they did with Luke in The Mandalorian.
Well, they weren't exactly going to get the same actor for that.
Yeah. He's a little old right now. But.
I wonder if he's going to get his own show.
What, Luke?
Yeah.
Well,
so jaded.
There was a whole bunch of new things that just hit, too. Like some Jedi things too.
Are you talking about games?
No, shows.
Oh.
Well, there's supposed to be a couple more shows coming out. I know that. I don't know anything about the characters, so.
No, and because it was not that expensive and it works on my TV, I did subscribe to Apple TV. I got like the $6 plan, so it's cheap. But because there are several things that Apple has brought out on their service that I've actually heard some really good stuff about. So for $6,
like what?
Here, let me see if I got the app. Because
I watched Ted Lasso really good. That was great, and Foundation was pretty.
Yeah, that's good. On there.
Foundation was good.
I didn't. I never read the books, to be honest with you.
I read some of them. They're hard to.
And I seem to be, and I would be interested in reading the books now, but I thought it was pretty good. Went to watch American Gods, but it was a little too violent for my wife.
I watched the first season of American Gods. I didn't watch the second season. I probably should.
Does it follow the
book really well?
I'm trying to remember the full details of the book.
Modernized.
But the beginning of the first episode where the Vikings landed on the Nova Scotia or wherever they landed, and they did that ritual to get Odin's attention of a little bit of self-mutilization there, and some of that, does the level of violence, is that kept up through the whole series, or is that just the most outstanding stuff?
From what I saw on first season, it was pretty violent the whole way through.
Ah, okay. Then my wife probably wouldn't like it. Did you see The Witcher?
I've watched portions of The Witcher because my wife is interested in it.
What do you think is more violent, Witcher or American Gods?
American Gods.
Okay, because my wife tolerated The Witcher because she really liked it, but there was a lot of stuff she had a hard time with the violence in there.
Yep.
That'll be just me.
That's one I want to watch, For All Mankind.
Never heard of it.
It's basically a TV series on Apple TV Plus. It's a what if take on history from Ronald D. Moore.
What's it called?
For All Mankind. It's basically, picture it is if the space race that we had to get to the moon never stopped. And we actually made it to Mars.
Oh, so, I'd love to check that out.
That looks cool.
Did anybody watch Morbius?
The movie? Oh, no. It just came out on streaming, didn't it?
Yeah, not that long ago.
Where did you watch it?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, no, I got it. I have not seen Morbius yet. Is it worth it?
I didn't think it was bad. I didn't think it was great. It's kind of on par with Venom.
Okay. I haven't seen any of the Venoms either. Either of the Venoms.
Don't, go out of your way or anything to watch it, but if you get the chance, then yeah, it's probably worth it.
Now, I did watch an episode and a half so far of there's a Three Mile Island documentary series on Netflix. I did watch an episode and a half of that. That was probably one of the scariest times in my life as a little guy.
Three Mile Island.
Yeah, we actually lived in Pennsylvania at that time, but we lived all the way in western Pennsylvania, not anywhere near where you and Pat lived in, but my grandparents, though, they lived in Hershey, which is just down the road from Middletown. In that, I'm trying to remember if they were in Hershey still or if they had moved to they might have been in Palmyra, because I think they retired in 79, so that happened in 79. And it's talking about the first episode talked about mostly about how the accident happened, and it covers things like how the Pennsylvania government at the time and our government, Jimmy Carter was president at the time. No one really knew what they were doing when it came to that. I have to look and see if they've ever attributed any increase to cancer in that area because of the release that they had. But I'm sure Three Mile Island, the Three Mile Island documentary won't be as thrilling as the Chernobyl one was. Which I haven't watched that one yet, but I don't think that one was really a documentary as much as a dramatization of it.
Oh, and I watched Deathstroke, Knights and Dragons.
Okay. Okay, the, one of the new ones, new Star Wars ones. Well, of course, Bad Batch is continuing, and there's the Ahsoka Tano show that's coming. But we knew about that one. But the one we did know about was Tales of the Jedi. I think that's a new one.
Tales of the Jedi. Aren't they all dead? Aren't they all dead?
Well, it depends. Depends. Are they doing it during the Old Republic?
I just, why can't we move beyond, you know, beyond that period? I wish they would take the Mandalorian and go somewhere new with the Mandalorian. We don't need to worry about the Skywalkers anymore. Okay.
You're absolutely right. They should do like there's so many great Star Wars novels that are not canon.
They were decanonized.
Yeah.
Just like the
Jedi Academy trilogy really followed Luke, and a lot of your books did follow Luke. So
Tales of the Jedi is going to be an anthology series. And an animator one at that. And it's going to have Liam Neeson as Qui-Gon Jinn. Michael Richardson is going to be the young version of Qui-Gon Jinn.
No way.
Well, it's a cart. It's animated, so it's...
Oh, okay, so he's doing the voice, okay.
He's doing the voice, yeah. And Janine Gavankar as Pav T, who is Ahsoka Tano's mother. Matt Lantern as Anakin and Corey Burton as Count Dooku. That's all the characters they listed, but it looks like they might have Mace Windu might be in it. Yaddle, who was Yaddle was the other creature that kind of looked a little bit like Yoda that was on the Jedi Council.
Right. They're doing an Ahsoka series, right?
Yes, they're doing that too, yeah.
Yeah, that looks cool.
Yeah, I think so too. I never got into the Clone Wars cartoons over on Disney. It's like, you know, I'm like, I'm in my 40s. I don't really want to. I don't mind watching animation. That's like, I tried to watch, Star Trek Prodigy. I just couldn't get into it. I did watch some of, oh crap, the one with the Cerritos on it. I can't remember, but it was it's okay.
The Orville's this week, right?
That's tomorrow.
Awesome, can't wait.
This is the last season of the Orville, right?
Well, that's the rumor. Because technically it's not the Orville. It's the Orville New Horizons. So, and I think the episodes, like I think what was the ones on Fox, were those about 30 minutes, I think? I think these are supposed to be closer to 45 to maybe almost as long as an hour. They're supposed to go more in depth. And all the trailers for it seem to look a lot more cinematic. So, you know, we'll see how that happens. More fighting the Kalon. Which that Kalon battle at the end of season 3 was just unreal. With how good it looked.
How's your Manjaro system doing?
Well.
Uh-oh.
You did hear I got pumped off, but... weird things happen with sound on this. I don't know why. You know, I don't know if it's because maybe I bumped the dongle for this headset or what, but then Manjaro has acted so weird when it came to this came to this wireless headset, completely unlike how it works on Ubuntu. So I don't know whether that's because in the background they're using something on top of Pulse Audio or what. Because I know you have a lot more choices for from the regards of sound servers, because you can actually use Jack and Manjaro, and the mumble that comes with Manjaro can also pipe Jack in. So, but I don't necessarily want to go to the effort of setting up Jack, because Jack can be a pain in the ass to set up. Pat knows. But thus far, I like it pretty well. I've been taking, like, it took it downstairs a couple times, and then I had a break during the workday that I decided I'd start dinking around with Python, because in our automation, we're using Ansible code, you know, so a lot of stuff in YAML. And the other languages that we use are going to be Python and PowerShell. PowerShell for the Windows box. And so I set up Git. I have a GitHub account that I was playing around with writing some programs and teaching myself Python, like doing some simple command line stuff with Python. Like I basically wrote like a main program that would call out other programs. And kind of called it like I do in ham radio, because I know ham radio, you know. So, like, I wrote a little calculator for calculating the length of a dipole antennas. One thing I'm thinking about doing is to write a little Python utility where I can plug in a call sign and have it spit back out the location of and the address of the station. Since that's all in the FCC database, I can do it via. There is a QRZ module for Python that I was trying to mess around with. I don't think I got it to work too well, though. The bad thing is I'll run into like a module for something like that, and it's like it hasn't been updated in 10 years. So if it's calling the website, I guarantee you that API that it was originally written for is probably gone. So, but, and I got Visual Studio Code that I'm doing that with, because it's, you know, Microsoft might have wrote it, but it's a really great editor. And lots of plugins available to help you write the code. I mean, it'll literally, like, as you're sitting to write the Python code, it'll search through the commands, and then they'll say, oh, do you mean this command? And then you can hit tab and do the tab completion. Then add the rest of the, you know, your arguments and stuff to it, things like that.
Uh-huh.
So, but, and that's just me trying to stay, like, I don't mind learning on the work systems, but I don't want to screw anything up, if you know what I mean. Even though when I start something new, I would probably be creating a new branch in Git. You know, we gotta be careful. Plus, we're doing iterations of our internal tool called Zap, and we got Zapcd, and so we're doing a lot of work with pipelines. So ultimately, whatever you write is gonna have to fit in the pipeline somewhere.
Right.
So. Because that's how pipelines work. So, but lately it's been late. Like, I had a meeting today on standards, and we didn't even get through. It's been a while since we gone through the backlog, and so basically I just led the meeting. That's what I decided to do during the meeting, was go through the backlog on standards. The bad part is our director, she was out, so she, I don't know if she doesn't always attend, but we're getting to the point with some of the standards that before we bless it as a standard, we should get some management buy-in on it, just to make sure that it fits. Like, some of the things we're trying to decide is is the retention time that we have on cleaning certain directories up. If a client doesn't have a retention time, it's getting to the point where they're finally giving us a retention time. So that's good. But I know there's a couple that just, they're like, I don't know, 30 days. And we're like, you know, if they don't give us one, then I just want to make a standard so that servers don't fill up, if you know what I mean. And there's lots of talk about going to things like our SaaS guys. And I don't know if this is going to work, but they're basically, when they do a new release of like our self-service product, or the API product, they do not just upgrade the server in place. They basically spin a new server to do it. And it's ephemeral. So they don't keep the old one. They do the new upgrade, brand new server and all that. So I'm assuming that all the SaaS customers use, we have a thing called Ellucian Theme Engine, which basically you theme it on a cloud-hosted website, and that way your website just calls that stuff. So, like, all your college colors and logos are gotten from there instead of on this local server. Our clients can do that too, but we also have clients that want to customize the product as well. So, that's going to be difficult for us to do, and I don't see us doing it right away, but that's some of the things we're trying to do, is trying to make the managed clouds product more standardized of sorts, which is difficult with our clients because, you know, they expect to be customized.
Not anymore.
Your BFG just left. Did you know that?
It did?
Yep, now it's back in.
Oh, I was really worried about that one.
That's weird. Is that your backup copy?
That's one of them. I have two backup copies going.
Cool. Here's something kind of cool I did with them. I am taking some of my ham radio stuff with me. I'll probably take my HF rig will probably be packed back in the trunk, but I'm gonna be taking my handhelds and using the D-Star one. I'm gonna use for analog repeaters, not D-Star one. I mean DMR radio. I'm gonna use for analog repeaters and possibly DMR if I can find the one to add to my code plug. But I wanted to make something on the 3D printer so that they didn't just go, you know, if I'm just in town or something going, running errands, I usually attach it to the antenna and just throw the handheld into the seat. But when I'm driving down there, I kind of want to make it a little bit more organized, a little neater. So I 3D printed, designed and 3D printed a thing that's, the bottom of it kind of looks like a pop can, so it'll go right in the cup holder, and then I have a space for each of the radios I'm going to take with me, so that way they'll, when I'm not using them, they'll stay in that and won't be going all over the car and damaging things. So that came out nice. But so things like that, like I said, on the way down to Southeast Linux Fest, on the way down Thursday, I'm not going to just beat feet to get there. I'm going to kind of take my time, take more pit stops than usual just to have fun with it.
There you go.
Make a mini vacation for me.
Yeah.
I tried to get the family to go, you know, but they didn't really want to. And to be fair, I can kind of understand because, you know, when we go new places, they rely on me to try and find places and things to do. You know, never mind, they both got smartphones and can do that, but.
Yeah. All right, we got to wrap this show up.
Yep.
It's that late time again.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on over here? All right. Any last words, anybody?
Words.
All right. Good night, everybody. Stay safe and stay cool. Enjoy the weather.
Yes, sir.
Here is your promos.
I am short.
Oh, my God.
It's Hacker
Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Hello, my name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called Libre Plus. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg poo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yeah. Ooh, this sounds good. I was looking at the menu for way down yonder. They have something called Down by the Bayou. And you get your choice of fried fish, either it's tilapia, whiting, catfish, or perch. And then it's covered in crawfish etouffee. Oof. I don't know if I want to get that. That's also expensive. It's like $25.
There you go.
So just the etouffee by itself is, let's see, a medium is $15. And definitely they have a seafood ball that has three turkey necks, three blue crab, three potatoes, two corn, and a dozen of crawfish for $45. Or, like I said, I could just go simple, get a po' boy.
Turkey necks.
Yep. That's what they put. The lady who runs this place is from Mediari.
Oh.
So, cheese was misplaced because of Hurricane Katrina.
I mean, I respect all the things that they're doing there, but at $45 is pretty expensive.
Yeah. That's more food than I can eat. For sure. When they got the hot sausage, shrimp po' boy, chicken po' boy.
Oh, yeah. All right, I got to stop this recording.
See ya.
Say goodnight to everybody. Let's see if I can fix that. I'm trying to figure out where it's coming from, though. Let's see. All right, let's see. Output devices. Input devices. That's muted. Is that less of a back, an echo?
Yeah, I'm not getting the watery background sound now.
Okay.
Like an echo off a wall is what it was.
Weird. Let's see. Playback. Cracking a beer?
Cracking a cold one.
What is it?
Coke Zero.
Ah. Cocaine Zero.
Yep.
I gotta figure out why my damn rules stop working. So we're going to have a Joel tonight?
He hasn't told me otherwise. Or if he has, I wasn't paying attention.
Ah. Let's see here. Today was the first day in a couple of months that I actually started back to biking.
Oh, I went biking day before yesterday. Or no, day before that. But I think I'm going to try again after the show tonight.
That's good.
As long as the wind doesn't pick up too much. That's a big ask around here.
You got big time wind?
Yeah, it's fairly flat, so we get a lot of wind.
Oh, do you have to have fences and stuff up in fields? Like little windbreaker fences around there?
You're assuming that we have fields.
Okay.
But no, there's a little east of here, it's a bit more open, but there's a lot of windbreaks, like groves, a lot of trees planted, and most of the fences are to keep in cattle of one kind or another.
All right.
Not really for windbreak or anything like that. And I am still working, so if I have to jump off to get on a call or something, I'm sorry about that.
Unacceptable.
Yeah, especially if Joel's not here. You're going to have to get Pat to talk till midnight. Right, Pat?
We could talk about something.
Yeah. All
right, something to talk about. What do you think about the big push to get rid of everybody's guns?
Whose guns?
Everybody's.
They're not getting rid of my guns. Who's coming?
Well, no, there's a lot of back and forth talk right now in Texas because of the mass shooting. And there was another one today in Oklahoma with, what was it? The guy had an AK-47 and shot up a, you know, elementary school. So, big push right now and a lot of pushback to get rid of full auto, high caliber.
There's evil people in the world doing evil things to innocent people. I have nothing to do with that.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. But a lot of it has to do with the fact that, you know, the good guys with guns stood outside with their thumbs in their asses.
I totally agree with you. It sounded like there were a lot of failures, you know. After Sandy Hook, a lot of schools took security much more seriously. They installed, like, vestibule areas in the entrances where you got to get buzzed in. And they also have police presence in all the schools here in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, they have police presence.
We have cops at every school.
They had police presence at that school.
Well, that's
a
failure on them.
That's
a
failure on the cops.
I totally agree. They should have fucking went in there and fucking took the asshole out. You know, you got guys there. There's no excuses.
Well, their excuse was they were waiting for, you know, the more heavily armed and armored people to show up, which is bullshit when kids are dying.
Absolutely. It's bullshit. You're hearing gunshots, man? Fucking, it's time to get your ass in gear.
Well, they were saying at the time that, no, all the kids are dead. But you got kids on the phone with 911 that stole a dead teacher's phone.
Yeah, that's a massive failure. It's a massive failure.
You know, I understand the fact that cops are not required to put their lives on the line for whatever fucking reason. But you figure one of them would have had balls big enough to walk in there and be like, quit shooting these fucking kids.
Yeah. Dude, if I was there, I'm not a cop and I'm armed.
Well, they
I'm
stopped
going
parents
in.
From going in. The parents were trying to go in. They were arresting parents trying to go in.
That's outrageous. That's absolutely fucking outrageous. That's a failure. You know, we have these failures, you know, not just, you know, police agencies, you know, Alphabet agencies, FBI. There's been, you know, other agencies, a lot of failures. Someone's got to be held accountable for this stuff. These massive, you know, failures. Like, you hear these stories of, like, you know, the FBI tracking certain individuals. You know, they know about them and they do nothing. And then, you know, where's the responsibility? Where's the accountability?
Now, argument that I'm actually agreeing with at this point, and just for, you know, odd reasons, is that maybe we should look at getting rid of the fully automatics. Not for any moral reason, because morally,
the only people
with
fully automatics are the police agencies.
The only ones that should.
It's pretty damn impossible to get a fucking automatic, a full automatic. You got to go on a registry, and it's prohibitively expensive for full autos. We're talking like $20,000-$30,000 a piece, and it takes forever to get an approval.
Well, we have to figure out something, especially with the slew of mass shootings that have been happening recently, between what happened in Oklahoma, what happened here in a couple of places in Texas, and just crap going on. We have to look at safety, and that's a really sad thing to say, and it's hard for me to actually, you know, vocalize it, because I really do believe that we should be able to own weapons. The problem gets to be a practical one when people are getting them and using them in situations like this.
So the guy who was the shooter, was it an illegal alien? I've heard conflicting
reports.
No, he
was a U.S. citizen that was legally able to own guns.
But he was a little fucking crazy. He was like cutting himself and shit, right?
There were mild signs, from what I understood. Like, he had made some stupid ass posts on Facebook or something like that, but nothing that just screamed, "I'm gonna go shoot people." But yeah, you have to be a little nuts in the head to shoot your grandma in the face and then go shoot up
an elementary
school.
And
want to
kill little kids, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe in pre-crime, you know, and I do not believe in penalizing innocent, law-abiding people. You know, there's millions of people. You know, there's millions of these weapons already out there. So even if they outlaw the sales of guns, there's already millions of them out there. So what are you going to do? You going to go door to door and confiscate? Good luck with that.
Oh, magazines wear out quicker than weapons. So if you stop selling things like high capacity magazines, there's bills that want to limit magazine size.
Yeah, that's marginal. After seeing Hook, there was a sheriff, I think from upstate New York, I forget, or one of those states up there. And he showed, like, he did a comparison of like getting rounds off with a standard 30 round magazine and like 3 10 round magazines, and the time difference was like 2 seconds more, changing two magazines.
You got people that know how to speed load too, and are actually trained with it and train with it every day and can do that. It's like, you know, the issue with bump stocks. Now, a bump stock does make it a whole lot easier, but it's not something that you can't train yourself to do, to rock back and forth on that trigger without one to make it do the exact same thing.
You don't even need a bump stock to do that.
Like, that's what I'm saying. That's honestly, exactly
with your belt buckle.
Your finger through the loop.
If you can bounce your hand just right and you can practice that, you can do the exact same thing with any semi-automatic.
Yep.
And still be inaccurate as hell.
I'm against banning semi-autos, magazines. It's not going to make a difference. It really isn't. And there's millions of weapons already out there. They're not going anywhere. Like this, you know, the conflict in Ukraine, before the Western countries started pumping arms into them, I was seeing videos where these guys were, they had like guns from World War II, full autos from Germany, from the Soviets, coming out of the woodwork, and they were using them. So, you know, they don't just fall apart and turn into dust over decades. So even if you, you know, ban everything, the sales of new sales, it's all out there already.
Yeah, even the military, I mean, when they make a new weapon, they tend to, when they make, you know, a new weapon for soldiers to carry, they tend to make it the exact same caliber. You know, 5.56 has been around forever. 7.62.
Yeah, it's not terribly lethal, 5.56, you know.
Well, yes and no. I mean, the bullet isn't designed to go through you and leave a giant hole on the outside. It's designed to go into you and bounce around and slice you all to ribbons.
Yeah, so, I mean, a 308 is far more lethal, like, you know, a hunting rifle.
Right. Something that's designed to go...
shotgun slug is way more lethal than a 5.56 round.
Right. I mean, a lot of your armor-piercing rounds are less deadly to people because they'll just go through and through, depending on where
you're hit. Sure, it's a high-speed round that's meant to be like armor-piercing.
Yeah. But, yeah, a hollow point or just a smaller caliber that's designed to bounce around inside you, yeah. More likely to kill you.
You ready to go? Yep.
Yep. A 22 well placed shot will be just as deadly as any other round.
Which president was it that took a 38 to the chest and got up and finished his speech?
Teddy Roosevelt.
Teddy Roosevelt. Sheer pectoral muscle.
I'll be getting ready to go to Southeast Linux Fest after next week's show.
Cool. Have fun.
They haven't had registration open yet. Makes me wonder if they're... I guess they probably will do t-shirts, but he's probably just ordering a bunch, and that way I can give him some money when I get there.